Turn to Daniel chapter 7 and Galatians chapter 6. Daniel 7 and Galatians 6. I know that Adonis won't mind me doing this, and they can listen real carefully. But I want to read you two places that we read Wednesday night, actually. First of all, Daniel 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, verse 25. And he, that's the Antichrist, if you know this story, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall, here it is, wear out the saints. Anybody here wore out? Boy, he'll wear you out, won't he? It says he'll wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary. That wear out and weary, they go together. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household, they who are of the household of faith. Let's be honest this morning. How many of you just mentally or emotionally or physically or in some way are just wore out? Okay, I see a good number of hands going up. Maybe I should ask it this way. How many of you are just sick of it? Say, sick of what? It. I don't know what it is. But boy, sometimes you just get sick of it. Wednesday night, I talked about what it means to be wore out or weary. It can be physical. It can be mental. It can be emotional. It can be spiritual. Or it can be a combination. It's really bad when it's a combination. And there's some folks going through that right now. And at least sometimes, I think it's safe for me to say this. I know it is in my own life. The emotional or especially spiritual fatigue is worse than the physical. I can put in a pretty good day sometimes outside or maybe cutting wood or something, just get wore out physically, but a good night's sleep, I'm ready to go the next day. But the mental or the spiritual fatigue, sometimes you don't get over it so quickly, do you? And some of you know what that's like even in the last few months. Satan wants you to be weary. He wants you to be weary. He wants you to be spiritually weak. Obviously, there are different kinds of weariness and there are different levels of weariness. Yours is always the worst. Isn't it funny when somebody tells you about something they did that was terrible and horrendous and you can't wait till they get through so you can overdo that one? You can match it and then go some more? There are different levels. Jesus, the Bible says this in John chapter 4, was wearied with His journey. Jesus got weary. That's a physical tiredness. That's what He was going through. But the weary of this passage in Galatians chapter 6, which I read to you just a moment ago, this is a different kind of weariness. You'd do well to study that word, weary or be wore out, and there's different ways that it's stated in the Bible, which I hope to sort of cover here this morning. When it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, that's not the same thing as Jesus being weary in His journey. This word here means don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. There is a mental, spiritual oppression or a fatigue that will discourage you. You'll lose courage. You'll lose heart. And you just want to throw in the towel and stay at the house. You want to quit. You want to give up. The Bible says don't let that happen. I guess if the Bible says you're not supposed to let that happen, we better figure out how we can not let that happen. Be not, let us not be weary in well-doing. Satan wants you to quit. He just wants you to lose heart and quit. Or at least he doesn't want you to be effective as a child of God.
He doesn't want you to bear fruit, which is what Taylor talked about with those different soils. He wants you to be hard and stony, but He doesn't want you to bear fruit. He doesn't want you to be effective. So because of that, there is a daily, relentless attack, often from every direction you can imagine, intended to get you tired and tired of it. The devil just wants you to get sick and tired of it, so you will then begin to look for some relief because you're weary. And you turn to drinking, or you turn to eating, or you turn to spending, because you want some temporary relief. And so you're fatigued, you're weary, you're worried, you're wore out, you're tired, and you think, boy, I'm going to go out and eat. I'm going to go out and buy me something. I'm going to do whatever. And sure enough, there is some short-term relief, but eventually, in the long run, the weariness is worse. Are you following me? The devil wants to get you weary, so you'll look for short-term relief in the wrong places, which usually makes the weariness worse. And when it gets worse, you're then in a state of discouragement or depression, and then you have to make some big decision in that state of depression, and Satan wins. Don't make big decisions when you're weary. Don't make big decisions when you're depressed. Hebrews 12 tells us what to do, and it says this, lest ye be wearied, listen, and what? Faint. In your minds. We can't afford to be weary or it'll lead to us fainting in our minds. The first time you find the word faint in the Bible is in Genesis when Esau was faint and sold his birthright. A bad decision while he was weary. Fainting, weary, and made a big decision. That's not the time to make a big decision. And it cost Esau for the rest of his life, by the way. Usually when we start spending and eating, especially when we're weary, we're looking for relief because we want out from under the pressure. Isn't that the way it is? We just want to relieve the pressure for a little while. Let's go to the theater. Let's go to the most expensive restaurant we can find. Let's go relieve some of this pressure. And let me say this. This is very, very needful for you to hear. You're not going to relieve the pressure. Please hear me, folks. It is impossible to get rid of pressure in life. If you are going to be a responsible person, especially if you're going to live for God and try to please the Lord Jesus Christ and do right, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be oppression. There's going to be discouragement. Listen to me. If you're going to try to live right, you cannot get away from the pressure cooker called life. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's a part of living for God. You've got to decide how you're going to deal with the pressure. Either man's way or God's way. But you're not going to escape pressure in this world. Didn't Job say a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble? Pressure is part of living. Especially if you try to live for God. But a lot of people in our days, and even today, are weary. Brother Lee suggested that if you come to church, you're going to get around some angry people. You can't get away from them. They're everywhere. There's a lot of weary people as well. Sadly, a lot of people are weary for the wrong reasons. Don't tell us you're weary just because you stayed up at 1 o'clock this morning watching some movie. We know why you're weary. A lot of people are weary because they spend hours on top of hours on social media or playing video games. That's why you're weary. You know why you're weary? Because you can't rest from doing nothing. Are you listening? There's a ton of wisdom in that statement. When you're doing nothing, you can't rest from that. A lot of people are weary from chasing the dollar. I'll work them extra hours. Sign me up. A lot of people chasing the dollar. A lot of people are weary from fretting over things they cannot control. You know, a lot of people spend their day worried about what if. And the what if may never happen. That's what the news media majors on. You know, it is, by the way, he is called the prince of the power of the air waves. He's the prince of the power of the air, and I'm telling you right now, the news media is breeding and cultivating and just nourishing fear. This whole world's walking around in fear. What if? And they're worried about the what ifs that may not ever happen. Over and over and over in the Bible says, fear not, fret not, and faint not. It's all throughout the Bible. Fear not, fret not, faint not. Faith, not fear, is how God wants you to live your life. I know there are certain measures all of us take. I can live a fear not life, but I can still lock my doors at night. And I'm telling you, this world's got people panicking over things they cannot control. So Wednesday night, I talked about some things that just wear you out. Are there some things that just grate on you? How many of you will admit there are things that just, come on, be honest. How many of you, there's just nothing bothers you? Because about half of you didn't raise your hand, brother buddy. Well, you bother me by doing this. I had another one happen this morning. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Some things that just wear you out are people who take 30 minutes to say nothing. Talking about things that wear you out, people that pout and whine. I'll tell you what wears me out is people that want you to know they're wore out. They wear it on their face. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They always want everybody to feel sorry for them. Kids just asking you one question after another. How come? Why? What for? Boy, I'd take its toll on you, won't it? Some of you mamas know what I'm talking about. I use this one Wednesday night. I said, why are you using it again this morning? Because you weren't here Wednesday night. That stuff just wears you out. Smacking. Chomping on ice. Somebody's always complaining. Fidgeting. I had a sister that just always rolled her hair in her finger. Just drives you crazy. Does that bother anybody besides me? I thought of this one this morning. Pick on my wife a little bit. Thank you, Miss Jolena. You know, when a woman says she's ready, they're just never ready. Rhonda, I say, you ready? Yep. I say, okay, let's go. Well, there's 10 more minutes of getting ready to be done. That's not the bad part. That doesn't grate on me. I learned to accept that somewhere around 40 years ago. But when they get in the car and close the door, they're still not ready. They forgot to put their lipstick on. They forgot to put some lotion on their hands. They forgot. They're just. Now, I know the woman's side of this story. I've heard the woman's side of the story where she says, yes, I'm ready to go to bed. That she's got to clean up the kitchen. She's got to put the dishes away. She's got all these other things that you don't have to do. I know both sides of this. That's the reason we drive both each other crazy. That's the reason we drive each other crazy. Things just grate on us. But John's really in there with me this morning. Going to be a long afternoon at the Bockert house. but these things are part of life, and yes, they grate on us, they wear us out, but surely there are more serious problems than somebody clicking their pen in life. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, I won't ask you to turn there, that you've got to be careful lest you get weary and faint in your minds. Right before that, it says, let us lay aside every weight. And it goes on to say, looking unto Jesus. I wonder if the problem, the reason we faint in our minds is we've got our eyes on the wrong things. There are some weights in our lives and we won't get our eyes off of them. There are some things in our lives that pull us down, distract us, discourage us, divide us. That word worry, if you really study the word worry that we use so often, we talk about worry warts. The word worry means to be strangled or divided. And the reason a lot of God's people are so wearied in this world today is their hearts are divided and there are things that they've got their eyes on, they just need to get their eyes off. Or they're going to mess around and faint. So worry leads to weariness, and weariness leads to wilting. There is the worrying and then the weariness and then the wilting. And the wilting is that fainting that the Bible says in Luke 18:1. It says men ought always to pray, listen, and not to faint. And that word faint is the same word as the word weary in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. What happens is when you get weary, if you're not careful, you'll eventually faint. You'll end up losing heart. You'll end up getting out of the battle. What causes weariness? Well, in Ecclesiastes 12:12, it says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. Isn't that what it says? Much study. I thought about that. I'm commanded in 2 Timothy 2 to study. And I do believe you have to study diligently. I believe you have to work at it. Any college student here ever got weary in much studying? You know what I really believe? I could say this, and I think I could take the Bible as a whole and prove this to you. I'll tell you why much study is awareness of the flesh. A lot of people study, but they never apply. Every now and then, you got to walk away from the book and put it to practice. Every now and then, you need to go outside and get a breath of fresh air. Every now and then, you need to get away from the study and live it. A lot of people that I know who are weary, they don't ever live it. They just study it. That's like a lot of people come to church and hear it, but never do it. That'll make you weary. I'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. I'm gonna just get through a few of these so I can camp out on the ones I want to camp out on. You know what Malachi 2:17 says? It says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words." Ooh. You know what Jesus said in that parable about the judge in Luke 18? He said, that judge said, "Lest by her continual coming she weary me." Did you know words can, people who are wordy will wear you out? You ever known a wordy person? You ever known that person that when they corner you, you can't get away? Some of you are thinking of that person right now. And as soon as they corner you, you think, okay, I'm trapped for the rest of the day. People like that wear you out. I'll tell you somebody that wears me out. It's people that will tell me something and then repeat it. I'm talking about in the same context. I'm talking about sitting in my study, tell me a story, and then a few minutes later, tell it to me again because they just want to tell it. Or people who say this a lot. Well, I guess I better be going. Go! Y'all ever met that person that says that five times? And you're sitting there thinking, please, do what you're saying you better do.
Well, some of y'all don't appreciate this.
I want you to look at this one. Turn to Proverbs chapter 25. I'm trying to help you, believe it or not. Now, last week I promised to be through by 11:30. I didn't promise that today. I am going to be short. I promise you. I'm going to be brief. But now listen, those of you sitting in here, it'd be a little bit different if you was out there in the parking lot and it was 90 degrees and you had three kids in the back seat. Okay, so we're trying to be sensitive. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be what? Weary of thee and so hate thee. Don't you love that verse? Now some of you want me to use that verse to point out that some people need to learn how to leave. You ever overstayed your welcome? Or had somebody overstay their welcome? So what's clear from this passage is that you ought not to overstay your welcome. But I'll tell you, the truth of the matter is, there's another truth in this passage. Some people are weary because they just have too much company to begin with. I've been preaching on this for the last two or three years. Some of you are just always getting together. And you're always weary. I didn't even say bad company. Not be good company. Hey, enough of a good thing can make you weary. Some of you need some alone time. Some of you need time with your wife and kids. Some of you need time in a quiet house. Some of you need time away from other people. Some of you need some meditation. Some of you need to pore over the Word of God. I'm just telling you, America has created a situation where everybody thinks they have to have a party every single night. And they got to go somewhere and they got to do something. Yeah, go home and enjoy some quiet time. Sit on the front porch and listen to the crickets. Watch the grass grow. Because some of you are so weary, and you keep thinking that having people around you is going to... No, all that's doing is hiding your weariness temporarily.
Amen.
I could preach on this for a long time. I'm just telling you that too much company will wear you out. I'll give you another one. Here's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Listen, neither be weary of His correction. You know, the Bible says Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. You know what some of you get weary of? You get weary of the Lord correcting you through the preacher. That's the reason you leave sin. Every time I go down there, he mentions that. Well, get right. Brother John, and he was being humorous this morning, and well, I think. He came into my study and he said, him and Miss Holly have been listening to some CD. And he said, hey, Holly said that I think he said something about she's tired of you hollering at her or something like that. And I jokingly said, well, tell her to get right with God. And that holler will sound like a whisper. Yeah. It is amazing that what some people enjoy, some people despise.
Yes, sir.
And I've had people walk out the door and say, oh, that helped me so much. And the next guy walk out and say, well, you beat me up again. Well, get right. It'll change your attitude about preaching. And some people just get weary of the Lord's correction. Somebody said preaching is like time-released medication. I like that. It might not do you know, any good right now, but tomorrow afternoon, going down the road, it might kick in. That's the way preaching works. It really does. I mean, the Lord can pull that stuff out at any time and use it to help you. And I know that you get tired of being rebuked and corrected and even instructed. You know what I think I would hate if I was on a football team? You know what I think I'd get sick and tired of? A huddle. Enough. Every time you turn around, they're getting in a huddle. Right? Between every play, they get in a huddle. But yet the coach never has to say, get in the huddle. They know to get in the huddle. And if I was a football player, I really think I would get sick and tired of getting in the huddle, especially if they never called my number. When you gonna call my number? I'd like to have the football phone my way every now and then. Can I tell y'all something? Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is our huddle. That's when you get your game plan. That's when you figure out a way to go forward in your life. That's where everybody learns their role. Instead of getting weary, you ought to be glad that you're a part of the team and that somebody calls your number. And just in case you need to be reminded of this, I don't call my own plays, but I've got an unbelievably great offensive coach. And you need a huddle. I'm looking at things that weary people, much study, wordy people, too much correction, or too much company, correction. Let me just read you a passage since we're sort of trying to be time conscious a little bit more than usual. Please listen to this. You know this story so well, some of David's mighty men. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 23:10, talking about Eleazar, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave unto the sword. You know what will make you weary? When the battles don't let up. And they just keep coming. And they keep coming. And they keep coming. And the problems pile up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me show you something. Turn to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. I just think this might be a help to you. I'm talking about this Eleazar over there. He's weary because they just keep coming. Some of you, let's just be honest. You ever heard this saying, when it rains, it pours. Well, some of you, it's been pouring. And the opposition keeps coming, and the problems keep coming. The enemy keeps coming. I'm making this connection. You can do what you want to with it. But the Bible says in Genesis 27:46, and Rebekah said to Isaac, Genesis 27:46, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am what? Weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. You read chapter 26, and Esau married them ites. He's supposed to be marrying them ites. And it just made his mama weary. Can I tell you something, Mom? It's not going to end. You think when they get grown, it's all over. Ha! I succeeded. Nope. Then your grandbabies start having problems. Your son's 26 and marries some idiot. That has nothing to do with me. I promise. Now, you know better than that, Christine. I'm just kidding. And in-laws? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you get a daughter that marries into the Johnston family, of all things. And you got to deal with that. The problems don't end. Your children's escapades will make you weary. And it may start when they're 2 and sticking their finger somewhere it don't need to go. It may be when they're 6 or 7 and headed towards the highway and they didn't see anybody coming. It might be when they're 13 or 14 and got the wrong friends. It might be when they're 21 or 22 and courting somebody and you're screaming, no! And it'll wear you out. But it's called life. And the problems keep coming. I don't know how many times I've thought over the last few months, the last few weeks, of all that Michael and Becky Eddie have been through this year. When's it going to end? All that Emmanuel has been through for the last 5 years, when's it going to end? Art Shady and his family, when is it going to end? The Green family having all these problems with Brother Joe's health, and then she has a roof leak and problems at the house. When's it going to end? The Stangenbergs over the last few years. When's it going to end? I think of the Cleghorns in Indonesia, and then they have problems with family here. When's it going to end for these families? When the trumpet sounds. And until then, we need to figure out how to help each other. And how to strengthen one another. And how to not quit. Not lose heart. Because sometimes the enemy just keeps coming. And you want to scream to God, when's it going to end? I don't know who the comedian was that said this one time. He said, today my heart beat 103,369 times and my blood traveled 160 million miles. I breathed 438 cubic feet of air. I ate 3 pounds of food, drank 2.9 pounds of liquid, perspired 1.43 pints. I generated 450 tons of energy. I spoke 4,800 words. I moved 750 major muscles and I exercised 7 million brain cells. No wonder I'm wore out. Life just wears us out. It seems if it's not one thing, it's another. Or we say it's one thing after another. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Please hear me. Just don't get weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart. Don't quit on God. Don't leave the battlefield. He told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know Isaiah 40. I know the context of Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. But I want to tell you that context, as much as I understand it, also says they that wait upon the Lord leads to shall not be weary. And that word wait does not mean sit around with your arms folded. Okay, Lord, when you come, and it means to stay busy serving God like a waiter waits upon people. And if you'll be busy, I promise you this, if you'll be busy doing right, God will give you the strength. He doesn't. Why should He strengthen you if you're not going to do anything right anyway?
Brother Lee pastored in Bruton for 12 years. He could tell you this. The pastor friends I know could tell you this. They talk about preacher burnout. Can I be honest with you? When God's in the bush, it doesn't burn out. And you do right and you think at the end of the day, I can't go another day. You don't tell anybody. Every preacher's been through it. I can't tell you the times. And you get up the next day and say, okay, God, if I make it through this day, it's going to be on you. And He gives you what you need. And I don't care if that means He calls you to be a mama or a wife or a daddy or a husband or a godly teenager. When you serve the Lord, He gives you the strength to do what you need to do. And you just keep going. And you keep going. And you keep going. One battle after another. I want to show you Job 10:1. I'm going to wrap it up. Turn to Job. Do you remember, anybody here remember the song that Brother Danny Hall used to sing about being wore out? I tried to think somebody I could call and ask them to sing that this morning. And I decided there was nobody else that could sing that like Danny Hall. You come home at night, sit down for a bite, cause you're wore out. You're hardly able to get up from the table, cause you're wore out. You crawl into bed, sleep like you're dead, cause you're wore out. In the morning you wake up, but you can't seem to get up, cause you're wore out. You get up on Sunday, dreading to see Monday, cause you're wore out. You go sit in church and your back starts to hurt, cause you're wore out. The choir starts to sing, but you can't feel a thing, cause you're wore out. You pray the sermon and the song won't last too long, cause you're wore out. You go for a drive in the car with your wife, and it's wore out. That's the car. I heard a comedian say the other day, he said he'd been married 47 years. He said, don't you get any ideas? He said, every week me and my wife still take a drive down Lover's Lane and take a nap. You go for a drive in the car with your wife and it's wore out. She starts to worry, tells you not to hurry because it's wore out. You don't know where you're at. One of the tires goes flat because it's wore out. From the sound of the motor, we'll soon have to tow her because she's wore out. The chorus is, when we get to heaven with Jesus our King, we won't have to worry about anything. We'll be happy and free. Nothing there will ever be wore out. We all know what that's like. Job 10:1, Job says, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. My soul is weary. Because I'm bitter. Bitterness will wear you out. It'll destroy you. And many others in the process. You know the story in Hebrews. That root of bitterness springs up and defiles many. I've preached too many sermons on bitterness. All I'm going to say is this. If you're bitter, it's your problem. And nobody else's. And you're allowing yourself to be bitter, and you can't blame anybody else. Somebody may cause me to be angry. What I do with it is up to me. Circumstances of life may create bitterness, but what are you going to do with it? Other people cannot fix your bitterness. Most of you, if everybody that ever hurt you apologized 1,000 times, it wouldn't make anything right. You'd still be bitter. Bitterness will wear you out. I could preach on that for a long time. Jeremiah 20 and Matthew 9, and I'm through. Jeremiah 20, I want you to see these. These are in the order that I'm giving you for a reason. Tonight, I'm going to try my best to help you with weariness. I'm going to show you some things that should help all of us with weariness. But I want you to see this one, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. This is Jeremiah talking. Verse 9.
Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name.
Jeremiah said, I'm done preaching. I'm turning in my resignation tomorrow.
I've had it! Not going to preach anymore!
But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing.
And I could not stay. You know what made him weary? What made Jeremiah weary was he said, I'm not going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And it wore me out.
When you keep putting off things that you know you're supposed to do, it just hangs over your head and wears you out. That visit you're supposed to make, that call you're to make, that letter you're to make, that person you're to witness to, that relative you're supposed to help, that money you're supposed to send, whatever it may be, when God has dealt with you with it time and again, and you keep forbearing, say, I'm not going to do that, and you keep putting it off, that's why you're wore out. Go do it, and you'll find out how invigorating it is. Go do right. That's why I told you to go to Galatians 6. Let us not be weary in well-doing. And then it goes on to say, as you have opportunity, let's do good. The cure for weariness is work. Start doing something for God. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And it wore him out. Matthew 9, and I'll be through. Matthew 9. I'm not going to have an invitation this morning, not a formal invitation. I hope you'll take the message and do something with it. This one's pretty interesting, and I'm not going to dwell on it. Some of you might even think it's self-serving, but I promise you it's not. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus, here the Bible tells us an interesting story, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Why did they faint? Because they didn't have a shepherd. And everybody just doing their own thing. Everybody's wandering around without direction. No fences, no boundaries, no rod, no staff, no pasture, no guidance, no direction, no counsel. Everybody just doing that which is right in his own eyes. Who's your pastor? Don't answer that out loud. Some of you got a preacher, and you don't want a pastor. Pastors put fences up.
Right. Right.
So, moms, listen to me. More than ever, as I get older, I can appreciate people better than I ever have before. I know you get weary. You know why so many ladies get weary? Because everything they do gets undone.
I just washed a load of clothes. Full again! Of your stinky, dirty clothes. That'd wear me out.
Well, some ladies are laughing now.
Get the house clean, here he comes in his muddy boots. Get the kitchen clean, and he don't even put them in the sink. Get the baby's diaper changed. Everything you do has to be done over and over and over and over.
I know you get weary. Men, I understand that daily responsibility. I thought it was so interesting. When I got home, I studied the word wear. Satan was to wear out the saints. The first occurrence of the word wear is Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, telling him, you've got too much on you. It's going to wear you out. I think of Brother John every single Sunday this afternoon while you're eating, while you're enjoying a quiet, peaceful afternoon. Somebody's got to do all the record keeping. Every Sunday. All the missionary checks that have to be written over and over and over again. And Brother John, you know this. Even if it's just counting dollars, pennies, quarters, dimes, and nickels, and putting things on a piece of paper, you got to have the Spirit of God, or it'll wear you out. Men, I know you get weary. Teenagers, bless your heart. You go to youth camp, you get fired up, you want to do right, and then you come home. And
It's tough. You really meant well this time. Now you're weary. I hope tonight to help you with some things that will strengthen you. I used an illustration Wednesday night. I'm not for sure you understood, but I was talking about how, and I talked to Brad about when you run, there's something about in that last 20 or 30 yards when you kick it in another gear. And when you cross that line, there's some kind of juices get to flow, and there's some kind of exhilaration that I cannot define or explain. Only those of you who have run and you get to the end of that thing, and your body is about to collapse, and you just feel great. And I'm telling you that we're getting close to the finish line, and you need to kick it into another gear. Years ago, I gave you this quote. I've used it a couple of times. It's one of my favorites. Life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, "Wow, what a ride." That's the Christian life. Now let's go live it. Amen. Let's all stand.